in our flesh and in the natural, as a husband and a father, I feel pressure at times to provide properly for my family. I feel pressure to give my children some sort of upbringing, you know, the one that's the perfect one, you know, the American dream. I feel this pressure. I can feel pressure from outside sources. Some of that pressure I bring on myself by what I allow myself to see and partake in. You know, if I spend all my time watching reality TV shows, then I can find myself under pressure to live up to what I'm watching. Pressure is very real. People succumb to pressure. People give in to pressure on a daily basis. And so it's not a surprise that that pressure can move into ministry. And we suddenly begin to feel pressure when, you know, what's supposed to happen today? What am I supposed to do today? There is at times pressure that comes from the expectations of men. I say men, I'm talking about us as humanity, the expectations of humanity. Well, I'm going to come to church today, and so there better be a good message, right? I better have something. There better be something good, something that intrigues me, something that provokes thought. And so, when you're a young man, a young woman developing in ministry, there's this balance between the pressure that you feel and the waiting on the Lord. Does that make sense? We say we're a Spirit-led body of believers. Life Ministries is a Spirit-led church. I believe that. We strive toward that. But there's this pressure that we put on ourselves at times as a ministry. It's there whether you believe it or not, and you have to work to push it away, to keep it at bay, whether it's the expectations of yourself, whether it's expectations of others, whatever it is, there's pressure. And pressure, its purpose, the purpose of pressure is to push you into something. My kids understand the power of pressure in a store. Dad, can I? Dad, please, can I? Dad, I want that. Can I have this? No, not that. Okay, what about this over here? What about this? Whoever came up with those racks of goodies right there at the checkout stand must have hated parents. Because if I say no to the chocolate, then it's just the gum. And if I say no to the gum, then it's the Lifesavers. And it's just a circle. And then somebody's now put Slim Jims there right at toddler height level. They grab them out. Dad, I got this. Pressure. They understand the pressure. And the purpose of pressure is to get us to cave into something. So the enemy knows spiritually if he can put pressure on us, if he can pressure us, whether via expectations, whether via our own thought process, if he can pressure us into caving into whatever it is that we're feeling pressure about. Maybe it's expectations. If he can pressure us into caving, what we do by caving is we cave into our flesh. And when we cave into our flesh, we go from operating in the spirit to operating in the flesh. And when I begin to operate in my flesh, I'm no longer operating in the spirit, obviously. And now it's not, we can't say that which is born of the spirit is spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If I'm operating in the flesh, then there's no spirit involved with it anymore. So that's the purpose of pressure. Pressure comes in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. You know, we can, I could go on and on about this. I'm talking about all this today, I feel like we've been talking a lot the past few weeks, past few months about weaknesses. And there's one scripture that we've used oftentimes from the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about his coming to them in ministry. And he said to them that my coming in among you, I came in weakness and in trembling. That was how I came. Paul knew what the pressure of expectations was. When you begin to read later into the Corinthian letters, you read that Paul would talk to the church about, if anybody had a reason to trust in the flesh, it was me. Circumcised the eighth day and all the things that he went through. Paul was a very well-educated person. I'm sure that there were churches that when they heard Brother Paul was coming to speak, they got a little bit of pep in their step and they made sure that I sat on the front row that day. And I want to hear everything Brother Paul's got to say, because this guy can speak. This guy's got a grasp of the Hebrew language. He's got a grasp of the Greek language, and he can tie all of these things together. And when Paul's here and ministers and teaches and speaks, it's just, woo, there's just something about it. And Paul knew that. He understood that. And so he said, listen, when I came to you, I made sure that I came in weakness and in trembling, because I didn't want any of Paul to get in the way of what was going on. As the service has gone on today and I begin to wait on the Lord about today, the thought prevailed in me. You know, we've gone through a lot as a congregation. There are many of you sitting here today that have gone through some and are going through some very dark times, some very difficult times. Here's what the Holy Ghost put in my spirit just a few minutes ago. If we are willing to say, Lord, I want to be used of you in ministry, whatever that is. When we say ministry, sometimes we think of pulpit ministry, we think of, you know, platform ministry or whatever. But to be used of God, to make yourself available as a vessel of the Holy Ghost, is to say, Lord, use me in prayer. Use me in laying hands on the sick. Use me in ministry one to another in an altar call. Use me in ministry at a pancake breakfast, at a McClendon's hardware store. Lord, use me at the Starbucks when I'm talking to the barista. Use me in ministry when I'm pulling through the coffee stand in the morning and getting my coffee. Use me, Father. I just want to be a vessel used of you, and you avail yourself to prayer in the Spirit on a daily basis. And all of that stuff is important, and it's who we are. It's what we teach. It's what we respond to. Lord, I want to be used of you. But if he's truly going to use us, and if he responds to our prayer, and he responds to our beckon, which I believe that he does, because he's looking for laborers. The scripture tells us that the fields are white already to harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. He's seeking laborers. So when you, Brother Tolbert, say, Father, use me. I want to be used of you on my job, in prayer, in different situations. He responds to that and he says, yes, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap and thank you. Yes, I'll use you. But if he's going to use you, then he's got to get Crager out of the way, and he's got to get Nick out of the way, and he's got to get Toscani out of the way. And the only way that he can do that is to put us in a place of weakness where we feel like we're about ready to fall apart physically. Maybe we're about to fall apart mentally, emotionally, and we're like, really? Seriously, today? You want me to pray after all of this? Do you know the darkness that I'm living in right now? Do you know what's happening to me? Do you know what I'm dealing with right now? Yes, I'm very aware. And yes, I'm going to give you utterance today in prayer. It's not going to be your utterance. It's going to be mine. And that's the place that I want you, so I can use you. Amen. But we ask, Lord, you use me. Lord, I'm a vessel. I'm available and I'm ready to you. I'm ready. I'm available to you, ready to be used by you. But sometimes in our humanity, we despise the weakness that he puts us in. I'm telling you, this is such a common thread. This wasn't what I came today thinking we were going to talk about. But this is such a common thread. I feel it so strongly in my spirit today. Just a couple of weeks ago, I'll tell my wife's testimony. Just a couple of weeks ago, she had been asked with the group here to travel to another church and to speak or to minister in song. And so she was planning on that. There were several others that were involved, and we were going to go minister. And the day before we were leaving, she woke up and she said, I'm in such excruciating pain in my mouth. I didn't sleep last night. Oh, and I'm expecting a child, so I can't take anything to knock the pain down. And so for the next 24 hours, she tried to live on Tylenol and all these things. And finally, I told her Thursday night, I said, you have to call the dentist in the morning. You have to get in. You have to get an emergency dentist appointment. You have to get this taken care of. Well, how do you go get a tooth cut out of your jaw the morning before you're supposed to go minister and worship somewhere, right? You're not even supposed to, like, talk, or they got your mouth all packed with gauze, all these things going on. I told her, I said, you have to go to the dentist tomorrow. You have to set up a call in and tell them you got an emergency. She did. She went in. Sure enough, she texted me as soon as she was leaving there. Yep, I've got an abscess in my tooth, and it was excruciating. And we're supposed to go minister together. What are you doing, God? This isn't fair. This isn't right. You've asked us to participate in this. We had a peace. When approached, we had a peace. We said, yes, we'll participate. And now you're putting us in this situation. And the minute she texts me, I don't know what we were expecting. She kind of knew what she was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was somewhere else that day when she texted me, and I was kind of wrapping up a few errands before we left that night. And it was like the minute she texted me, the Lord just reminded me, I'm going to constantly keep you in a place of weakness so that I can do through you what I want to do. So then I ask myself, why am I so surprised when these things happen? Why do I get so frustrated when things aren't going right and everything's falling apart in life and I can't get A and B to equal C and nothing's working? And God says, well, you said you were ready to be used to me. I was just putting you in a position so I could. Because when we think of, in our humanity, oh, Lord Jesus, use me, we think that suddenly we're going to swell up with strength, supernatural strength like the Hulk. Get out of my way, Satan. Bite the dust. Wah! Right? Oh, God. I can pray in the snow. You better look out. God says, oh, you want to be used? Okay. Are you weak enough? Yes, Lord. Perfect. Now go take the microphone and minister today. Are you weak enough? Now get up in the morning and pray, and I'll give you what to say. Trying to help somebody. My heart hurts. My heart hurts for what I see some of you are going through and having to deal with and having to battle. But I'm telling you, you've asked the Lord to use you. I believe it. I've seen your response. I witnessed the witness of the Spirit in your life when you've responded to the calling of God over the past few weeks and months. As God is drawing his people to a place of commitment, to a place of dedication to the kingdom of God, to a place of involvement in the kingdom for the purpose of furthering his kingdom. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Now together, We're watching this situation unfold and this situation unfold and this difficulty unfold and this situation that doesn't make any sense unfold. And that's hard to handle sometimes. It's hard for me to watch that. I watch faithfulness and I watch commitment and then I watch things unravel and I say, why, God? And folks call, and all I can do is say, I'm going to pray with you, man. I love you. I'm going to pray with you. I'll be there. If you need anything, call me. There's nothing else we can do. This doesn't make sense. In my humanity. But spiritually, I realize he's putting me in a position. His position. He's positioning me in his kingdom so that he can use me. Whether I realize it or not, there's a lot of me that he has to get out of the way before he can do what he wants to do through me. Oh, I think, I'm talking about me personally, I think that I'm in this place of, okay, God, yes, use me, yes, here I am, I'm ready, I've gotten rid of all this stuff, I've worked all these other things out, and then it's like some little thing creeps in. Some other little failure, some other little mistake, some other little stumble, fall, all these things work themselves in, and I'm thinking, where's this coming from? Why? Paul said, let's read it together here. If you can throw it up on the screen there, Brother Kendrick. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you see the disconnect there? We like to quote the scripture that the Lord will confirm his word with signs following. I believe that. But I fear sometimes that we misinterpret that, and we like to quote that in the sense that when I get done doing my thing, God's going to prove to you that I was in the Spirit. Paul said, when I ministered to you, I was weak. I was empty of everything that was of me. And all there was, when you looked at Brother Paul, you were like, is this what we came for today? I drove all the way here on Sunday. I put up with all the stuff I put up with on Sunday to get here to listen to this. I'm talking our humanity. These are the things that we battle with. I came all the way to put up with this. Those are all the songs you could pick out. Seriously? These are the things in our humanity. I came all the way here and you're only going to sing two songs? I mean, I need to worship my way into this a little bit. I came all the way here for this? Paul said, I didn't have any word. I didn't have any enticing words to say. All I could talk about was the crucifixion. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was it. But there was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. God said, well, if you want to see my glory, then you're going to have to go hide in the crevice of a rock over there. You're going to have to get out of the way. You have to go put yourself, hide yourself away, and then my glory will appear. I'm not sure where we sometimes get the idea that us and God are going to share the stage. Like we're co-stars. Co-host. We're going to co-host Sunday, me and the Lord. Right? I'm not sure where we get that idea. This is his show. This is his meeting. This is his gathering. We're just participants in it. And I just try to play whatever part it is that I can play. But the minute it becomes about me or my ability or my talent or what I think I've got to say today, he says, see ya. I was having a conversation yesterday or day before yesterday with a friend. And I was relating to him a conversation that somebody had in a meeting I was in just in the past 120 days. We were in a meeting and the power of God began to fall and the Lord began to deal with me that what was on board, what was going to happen that night needed to change. And so I stepped out in faith and I went and talked to a few people and I said, hey, this we need to make a change here. I know what we've got planned to do tonight, but the Holy Ghost is doing something different. We need to flow in that. We got buy-off from a couple of people, and we moved on. It was a big deal. We moved on, and we let the Holy Ghost move. God did some amazing things that night. But somebody made a statement the next day. They said, you know, I'm really appreciative of what God did, but we're asking God in his will just to give us 10 minutes of our will. So we can get done what we need to get done. And I don't even know why I said this, but I was relating this to my friend, and I said, you know, well, here's what I realized. The minute I say, God, we want your will in this meeting tonight. Sunday we come together, we want you. Whatever you want, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But I'm going to need 10 minutes to discuss what I want to do. And God says, go ahead. You can take all the time you want. Take 30 if you need to. I'll be outside. He will let you have your way. He will let us come in and do our thing and go down our path and do whatever it is we want to do. Doesn't mean he's going to participate in it. I wonder right now, I wonder if you'd pray for strength for your brother. You may not even know what's going on across the aisle. You may not even know what's going on inside the congregation. But there are individuals who have yielded themselves vessels to the Holy Ghost, who want to be used of God, but are dealing with things and feeling such pressure and all these things that are coming around. And sometimes the pressure that comes on us becomes easier to bail out of the process than to say, Lord, I'm gonna take this, I'm gonna endure it, whatever it takes. I wonder right now if there's individuals who would avail themselves of the Holy Ghost and let the Lord use you in prayer right now to minister to somebody else. I don't have to know what the scenario is because the Holy Ghost knows. And I don't have to know all the little details. The Holy Ghost knows. And he, in that same hour, he'll tell me what I ought to pray about. He'll give me utterance. He'll give me authority in prayer. Let that be exercised right now in the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus. You're aware of my frame, Father. You're aware of my state of mind. You're aware of my fragile mind, Father. You're aware of where I'm at. You are concerned today with where I'm at. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I yield myself in my frailty. I yield myself in my weakness, Father. All that you ask me to endure mentally, all that you're asking me to endure physically, I yield myself a vessel to your spirit, Father. Oh, I stand by my commitment to you to be a laborer in the kingdom. I stand by my availability. Today, although I'm under attack, I stand by my availability to your kingdom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The psalmist David said, the darkness may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There is no greater joy than ministering through my weakness. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater joy in this world than allowing the Lord to use my weakness to minister through me to somebody else. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let the Holy Ghost use you. There's some that aren't even in the room today that need your prayer. There's some who the weakness has become so great they're bailing out on the process. Would you pray for them right now? You know who they are. The Holy Ghost can quicken individuals, quicken faces and names to your mind right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Others are in such a place of weakness they can't even get out of their house. I wonder if you let the Holy Ghost use you to minister to them right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I wonder if we could just stand right now and offer up some praise. Would you express some thankfulness to the Lord right now for His strength? His strength that's made perfect in our weakness. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I feel to make a point of clarification here. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations that cause weakness in our lives. I think we recognize those. We see those for what they are. Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." I can put myself, Nick can put himself in situations at times that expose my weaknesses. I'm sharing that in contrast to other situations of life that are just seemingly out of our control. Oftentimes I don't get to choose what happens to me on my job. Things just happen. Things go south, things go awry. Next thing I know, I'm stuck at the office till 7, 8 o'clock at night. And my wife's going, "Where are you? Are you coming home tonight?" And these things happen. And they can put us in a place of frustration. Boss comes to you and says, "You're working Sunday." "I don't care you go to church, you're working Sunday." Some of you have testified of those kinds of situations to me. And they can put us in a place, and we go, "See, yep, can't go to church. See, you're a loser now. You're backslidden." And he uses those situations. He uses that weakness to bombard us, bombard our mind with lies, lies. "See, you didn't. You weren't at church on Sunday. You couldn't make it on Wednesday night. Now, see, why don't you just give up? Just give up. Just quit. Just quit altogether." If there are situations that happen to me that are out of my control, I'm talking about things I can't control my health. It happens. I get sick. Diseases come upon me. I can't control that. Things happen in traffic around here. I can't control that. I'm supposed to be somewhere, and I get on the road thinking I'm going to go somewhere, and there's two overturned semis within 2 hours of each other in downtown Seattle, and I'm going nowhere. I can't control that. It's out of my control. He puts me in a place of weakness, stuck in my truck on the freeway with nowhere to go. I can get mad about it. I can get frustrated about it. Or I can say, "Why did you put me in the middle of I-5 for 2.5 hours in the middle of the day with nothing to do? Other than to maybe talk to you." There are situations that are out of my control that he puts me into. Why have I been sick for a week? Why am I in this place of weakness, physical weakness? Why am I in this place of scheduled weakness where my boss won't let me out of this or won't let me out of this? I can't participate. Maybe I'm able to be here on Sundays, but I can't participate in anything else because I'm under all this pressure. Weaknesses that are out of my control, things that God allows me. If I truly believe he's charting the course of my life, then I got to believe that he knows every step that I'm taking, and he allows me to go through things. And I have to learn. I'm going to speak to you from personal experience here for a minute. I've got to learn how to stay spiritual, for lack of better terms, through those twists and curves of weakness. If you get in a situation where you feel disconnected from the body of Christ and you're like, "I don't know what's going on," you better find a place of personal relationship with God. And if you've never had that place of personal relationship with God, maybe he's putting you through that weakness so you can figure out how to find a place of personal relationship with God. I get to be here every Sunday with all of you. It's beautiful. I love it. I feel so good when I leave here on Sundays. You guys smile at me. You shake my hand. You tell me you like me. I feel good. I leave here on cloud nine. I get fellowship. I get to talk to cool people. Cool people act like they're my friends. This is a great place. But I've been in situations where I couldn't be here on a Sunday. I had to be on a job, or I had to go, so I had to travel. I had to do something. And I know, sitting in a hotel room on a Sunday night thinking, I'm hurting, I'm empty. Feeling weak in my spirit. Did I pray that day? Yeah, I prayed. I read my Bible. Talked to the Lord on the plane as I was flying. All that was great, but there's something that the enemy works on me when I'm not. It's kind of like the whole wolf and coyote thing. If they can get one animal away from the pack and out here on their own, bounding, they'll chase for hours because they know you got no protection anymore. You stay in the pack, that pack of moose, they'll beat whatever away that's trying to get at somebody. If they can just get one of them off by themselves for a while, they can devour it. The enemy knows that. He finds me in a place of weakness that's out of my control. Nothing I can do about it. I'm stuck here. That's my opportunity to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let that weakness put you in a place of getting closer to him. Don't let it push you away. Don't let it put you on the outskirts. Don't let it make you an outsider. Let it put you in a position of saying, Jesus, I need you now more than ever before. I need to be closer to you now than I've ever been. You see the difference between those two scenarios? They're both critical. I've got to recognize each. Because in my frustration, sometimes I can start beating myself up. What are you doing? What's going on? I can't make sense of this. I can't make heads or tails of this. I've got to come to the realization, wait a minute, I didn't give myself the flu. I didn't give myself an abscessed tooth. I didn't give myself all this frustration. Why am I here? Father, what are you trying to do in me? I've been asking that question of him so much lately. Okay, what am I supposed to learn through this? This road looks really familiar. I think I've seen that sign before. What did I miss last time that I'm supposed to get this time? Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I trust today that you have me exactly where you want me. I'm where I belong in your kingdom, and you're at work in my life, and I yield myself. I continually yield myself a vessel to you, Father, to be used of you, your kingdom, your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray supernatural strength today upon every individual in this room. Your strength, not ours. Not strength that comes through me exercising self-will or willpower or any of those other things that our flesh would like to rely on. But I pray supernatural strength. Father, with no accounting of where it came for, but I feel strengthened in my vessel. In the name of Jesus, your great grace, Father, upon us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Please, if the kids aren't done downstairs yet,